Good to be in this house. Amen. I wondered if I was going to make it. And somewhere through here, you'll get offered some hope, some real hope. Amen. That if he can do it, I can do it. Amen. And that's really a wonderful thing. You know, we don't want to be pious and astute and all those lofty words, whatever they mean. We want to be relatable, don't we?
Yes.
Want to be able to relate to people. And that's how you win them. Amen. And so, you know, when they feel like, well, he ain't got it all figured out, maybe I don't have to have it all figured out. And so I offer a lot of hope to a lot of people just in that regard. Amen.
Yes,
right. So, and that's the way you do it. You got people that you can reach that nobody else will ever reach. Now, this phone is just for the clock. That's all it's for. I ain't texting. I ain't surfing Facebook or Twitter or Ditter or whatever they got out there now.
Yeah.
Just for the clock. And so to be a little time conscious. It wouldn't work if I wanted it to, because yesterday we were at my mom's helping her paint. It's not on. See there, Brother Ricky's telling me I ain't got it right.
Red light on.
Sorry about that, brother. Now then. So yesterday we were helping my mom paint. You know, all the family was there, and somehow or another my phone is on in my pocket. And I ain't paying it on mine, but evidently it's going through this whole thing of trying to go through the passcode. And so if you don't know this, after about 10 times, it will lock out. So I'm locked out of my phone. And so I was dealing with that. And of course, work. This morning at midnight, the phone rang and I had to go to work. And so got home about 3 and got a nap, and I thought everything's going to be good. And so I got up early and just woke up early and having a good time and cruising right on through. And then, you know what happened, Brother Larry? I come out the door, I turned the alarm off, I thought, and so I'm quite sure I turned the alarm off. And I come out the door and I have no keys in my pocket. I have no keys in my pocket. And the alarm, I hear the alarm and they're going off. So I want to go ahead and apologize in advance to Geneva County Sheriff's Office if they had to make a trip out. I couldn't get back in to turn it off. And so then I figure out, you know, along the way, you know, all of these things are missing and going on. And so it's getting late, right? Because I should have done been gone. And so I thought, I'm going anyway. No enemy, you know, no enemy sits right there. And he's like, you're going to be dragging in there. And, you know, you got all this stuff going on. I thought, well, going anyway. And so, you know how you get the victory over that, don't you? You just keep driving. You just keep driving. Because after a while, there'll be a point of no return. And you're like, well, I'm going anyway. And that's what God wants.
Amen.
That's what God wants. See, our life is like that.
Yes.
And that's what God wants. He wants us to have a point of no return. And that point of no return is when we says, I don't care if it hair lifts the devil and it hair lifts the mayor. I'm going on with God and I'm going to pursue. It's what the Apostle Paul did. We're going to talk about him a little bit in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. If you got your Bible, turn there. Acts 26.
Yes.
And you know what happened? Paul's Christian decision. Now, it wasn't just a decision. I don't want you to think I'm saying that and that Paul made a little sign-me-up decision. It wasn't that. We know that his transformation was glorious.
Yes.
And at the same time, it was brutal. It was brutal on the behalf of Stephen, because God used what Paul done to Stephen. Now listen, Stephen literally took a boot stomping to win the Apostle Paul. Because, as I've said before, not too long ago, that's the one thing the Apostle Paul could not get away from. I believe he saw that man of God looking up to heaven and asking Jesus not to lay this sin to his charge. I never think Paul got away from that. And so here, and all of those events God used to corral Paul in. Amen. You may remember events God used to corral you in.
Right.
And so where he took some things that were precious to you, and you thought you couldn't, couldn't do without, but when the Holy Ghost got done, you found out you could do without them real well. Amen? Why? Because the Spirit of God, you know what Jesus said about the Spirit? You know the job of the Spirit is to convince men of sin. And so if there's no such thing as a person being saved without the Holy Ghost. Let's get that in our doctrine. Because Jesus said, He said, except the Spirit of God draw you, how many can come?
None.
Nobody can come. Except the Spirit draw you, you cannot. I tell you, there's some negatives in the Word of God. And one of those is no person can be saved without the drawing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The job of the Holy Ghost is to convince men of sin. So our spiritual eyes will never be opened apart from the work of the Holy Ghost. And so people say, well, the triune Godhead, what's the job of the Holy Ghost? That's it. We just talked about it. It's to lead us. And so if any man is not led by the Spirit and doesn't have the Spirit of God, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, Romans said, are what are they? They're the children of God, led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So here we find it that Paul understood. He didn't understand it when he was beating Stephen into oblivion, but he understood it when God got done with him in that great transformation experience on the road to Damascus. And so Paul is recanting some of this stuff to the leader here in Acts chapter number 26. He's come before Festus, he's come before Felix, and now he finds himself. Paul was well acquainted with the courtroom, amen. And so everywhere he went, they wanted to find out, what do you believe and why do you believe it? And what have you done and what's all this stuff we're hearing? Because where Paul went, there was a cloud of dust. Where Paul went, there was chaos. And so you know what happened? He wasn't a troublemaker. Bless God, the troublemaker was the gospel that he preached. You said, preacher, I don't think the gospel's a troublemaker. I promise you, if you will be a good representative of God's gospel, you will find relationships that will sever. You will find people that don't want to be around you anymore, especially a person who just got saved. Usually he's going to have to find some new friends. Amen. And so if his friends don't get in, then there's probably going to be a little separation there. Yeah. And this is what happens. It's an obvious change. It's an amazing change that happens in the life of a person when they get saved. You know, because the gospel changes our outlook, our theories. It changes the way we see the world and the way the world sees us. And so we identify with Christ. That's the only thing Paul did wrong in the mind of these leaders. He identified with Christ. He denounced what his mom and daddy had always taught him, and that was Judaism. And that was legalism. And God brought him out of the legalism business and grounded him in the winning of souls. Amen. So Acts 26, you got your Bible up there. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. And he said, I think myself happy. Now I'm going to tell you something that goes hand in hand with the gospel. You know, with this happiness. Happy is the people. 144 Psalm said, 15th verse, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And Paul said, I think myself happy. Now he might have had whips on him and bruises on him and knots on him. I promise you, Paul wasn't much to look at. But he said, thank God, King, I'm happy. I think myself happy because I shall answer for myself. He said, I got some things I want to share with you.
There we go.
And he began to tell the king what happened and how God pulled him out and God changed his life. And he looked in verse 5. Those which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify after the most straitest sect of the religion, I lived a Pharisee. Boy, he was to the letter of the law. Man, Paul, nobody walked the line tighter than Paul walked.
Yeah.
That's why he's beating Stephen silly, because he thinks Stephen is fighting God, and he didn't know he was fighting God.
Right.
And so we have this phrase in the scripture, "Lest haply." Remember, one of the leaders there said, "Hey, fellas, let's pull back a little bit, unless we be found haply to fight against God." Well, that was Paul's thing. He's thinking he's doing the right thing, didn't know he's doing the wrong thing. And Jesus, King Jesus, straightened that out for him.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's what salvation is.
It is.
It's just an experience with Jesus.
Right.
And you don't have to see him. You don't have to have a bright light come down in the living room. You just have to meet him. Amen.
Yes.
And where do you meet him? Well, a good place to meet him is right there. It's where I met him on May the 3rd, 1987. I met Jesus. And you know what happened? People said, "Well, you know, so many things would change. I couldn't dare put up with those changes." I tell you, when he comes in, you'll be glad to change some of those things. And he will do the forming. He will do the guiding, not us. He will, amen. And he'll use people in your life that will guide you and lead you. It's kind of like, remember the man in Acts chapter 8? And so he's right there and he is reading the Word of God. And so as Philip comes and hops up in the buggy with him. You know, I like buggies. Like buggy horses. Yeah, I know that's old timer stuff, but I like it. Boy, I'll get mine on the road and we'll go. Got a standard bred gilding, and he likes to go and I like to go with him. And so here, as Philip comes by, and that Ethiopian eunuch is sitting there reading the scriptures. He's over in the book of Isaiah, by the way. And there's some things in there, you know, some puzzles as you began to read. And so he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And old Philip, that was his cue. He hopped up in the buggy and he's riding with him, right? He's there in the chariot. And he began to preach and teach Christ unto that eunuch. And that eunuch heard something about baptism, and if you got saved, you ought to be baptized. And he said, "Hey, here's some water. And what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said this, and this is what we ought to grab and we ought to share it too. He said, you remember the part right here where he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." It's what salvation is. It's an all thine heart experience. You said, "Preacher, I'm going to hold some things back." It will negate salvation. You can't barter with Jesus. He's king. You can't hold back. You can't stick a card in your belt.
Nope.
Speaking of belt, you know, I come out the door, Brother Hayward, and I remembered, I forgot my belt. But that was the least of my worries when I figured out I also forgot my keys. And I forgot everything else.
Yeah.
And I got out there and the alarm's going on. And I can't get back in there. And so, you know, I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? Well, I had an extra set of keys. I leave them in the truck all the time. So I had keys. And I said, well, bless God, I can't get in the house, but I can get in the truck and go to church. And you know what Paul said? Remember this over in Philippians chapter 3? Forgetting these things. That's what he said.
That's right.
Forgetting. I'm going to listen to the Inspirations when I hit I-10. Boy, they got to sing one of them old time songs. The Spirit of God got the blessing on that. I had a little shouting fit before I got here. So don't think it's strange if I have too much fun. And so here's what you need to realize. The Word of God is the answer. Amen. You know what that eunuch needed? He needed the Word of God. And he said, "What doth hinder me?" I want to ask you, what doth hinder you to follow the Lord? Not only in baptism, but in salvation first. If you're not saved, you need to be saved.
Yes.
If you ain't obeying God, you ought to obey Him. And you ought to follow Him. If He's leading you in some things and He's showing it to you by His Word, that's what Philip did. He showed it to him by His Word.
Right.
And you know, that's the thing that's going to convict us and convince us. That's the job of the Spirit. It's not only to convict men of sin, it's to convince men of sin. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God does a good job of convincing us. People say, "Preacher, I don't know how to do the right thing." I promise you, if you know Christ, there's something, there's some old alarms. You know that alarm going on in the house this morning? I couldn't get to it. There's some alarms that'll go on inside the house, this house, right?
Yeah.
This house. It'll go on right in here, and the Holy Ghost will say, "Whoa, wait a minute, stop, right here, hit the brakes."
Amen.
And then we make a conscious decision to go past those brakes or to use them. And so Paul didn't do everything right, or he would be perfect, we say. When Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect," that is not something to trip up a brand new believer. When he says perfect, that word we say perfect, we think, "Oh, preacher, I got to have all my I's dotted, T's crossed, got to put the little squigglies on my Q's." No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being therefore complete.
Yes. Yeah.
Complete.
Yes.
We are complete in Christ.
Amen.
We want to be completely for Christ and completely with Christ.
Amen.
Do believers mess up? You better believe it.
Oh, yeah.
You better believe it. Did Apostle Paul mess up? Absolutely.
Yes.
Did Peter mess up?
Oh,
Peter said, "I know not the man." Woo! He said, "I know not the man." You know what's going on in his heart, don't you?
Yes.
Spirit of God.
Yes.
Spirit of God. And the word said he went out and he wept. How so? Did he weep a little bit?
No.
He wept bitterly, bitterly, bitterly. He sat there and walked with the Lord for 3 long years. And then when it come the most important time of support,
yes,
for King Jesus, he denied him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, that says something, don't it? Don't it say something about the failures of men and women? You know what the enemy says? The enemy says you need to kick yourself if you got it wrong. You need to kick yourself. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, "Go and sin no more." Sometimes people think Christian people have all the answers and they make all the right moves and life's like a chess game. Everything's just perfect. No, it's not. That's nothing to do with Christianity. No, we strive for that. We want to be like Christ. But when we fail Him, here's what the enemy does. When we fail Him, the enemy... Now, Peter going out and weeping bitterly, that was an appropriate measure of grief, wasn't it? And my heart ought to be broke when that happens.
Amen.
But nowhere, anytime, do we read anything about God taking away our salvation or changing our position because of the failures of the human heart. Never do we see that. Does He reprove? Yes. Does He rebuke? Absolutely. I told you about the time me and my neighbor was having a cussing fit, and so we was learning how to cuss. I was about 8, and we took up cussing. That was our new habit. We was through with baseball and that kind of stuff. We took up cussing. And so one day Daddy gave me a chore. He didn't know he was oblivious to it. But you know who wasn't oblivious to it? I wasn't oblivious. Now, I don't know what old Big Jeffrey did. Jeffrey was my next door neighbor. He was overgrown and you know, all that. And we would run down, we'd kick him cans and cuss him. And we were just learning how to cuss, brother. And so we come back. And later on, this was days or weeks later, boy, the old conscience got speaking to him, the Spirit of God. And I was 8, remember now, 8 or 9 years old. And so I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, but I knew I had a conscience. God gave. You know what marks us different than an animal or, you know, a cow or a hog or a fish? We have a conscience. They don't have one. God gave us a conscience. He put a conscience in Adam.
Yeah.
And so when Adam sinned, the first thing he done is the first thing we do. He hid himself.
Amen.
He hid himself and he said, "Woo, Lord." He said, I don't know where my clothes got off to. But and he said, "Well, what's going on, Adam?" He said, "I hid myself for I was naked." You know what God asked him? He said, "Who told you?"
That's it.
Who told you was naked, Adam? The conscience God gave him was awakened by sin. It's what marks us different than any other species, is that God has a connection through the conscience with man. It works in the life of little youngins. There comes a point. Now, some say it's 12. I don't think there's an age to put with it. For some people, it's never. Is it? God knows those, and He knows the soundness of our mind and our heart and our understanding and our conscience. And so for some people, it's never. We have invalids and different things that never have God consciousness. And so here, in this event, we're talking about rather than we have those talking about a custom spell. And so I had a little chore to do, and man, my conscience just swelled up in me, and I'm like, woo, I'm on the bus. Something's got to happen right here. I mean, it was that real. And you know what I'm talking about. You've had your event like that. And so whatever I had to do, I sat it down. I popped up in Daddy's lap. And he's like, what's going on here? And I said, woo, Dad, let me tell you, me and old Jeffrey have been down there. We've been trying to learn how to cuss. And we've been cussing everything that moved. Your rocks, trees, and animal life. We've been cussing everything going on. I was squalling like a baby. And he's probably laughing a little bit on the inside. But couldn't let me see it, of course. And so, you know, to him, that was something that he would deal with in the appropriate form. You know how God sees our sin? He deals with our sin when we bring them to Him in the appropriate form. That's what He does. He's a good father.
Amen.
And He knows how to deal with youngins. He's got a lot of them. And He's never made a mistake.
Nope.
I can rest in that, Brother Donnie. He's never made a mistake.
Yes, sir.
Never one time. You said He left His Son out there on the cross. What kind of father could He be? He done that for you and I.
That's right.
And we could know Him in the free pardon of sin. We wouldn't have to kill bulls and goats and animal life anymore. Yeah. No, He set Him up, the propitiation, in our place. That's what that big word means. Jesus went to the cross in our place. He's the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. Remember that verse?
Amen.
He's the propitiation. And so here, in the book of Acts, talking about this, Paul is explaining this to Agrippa. We're varying off, you know. We're kind of forgetting about Agrippa a little bit. But Paul ain't forgot about him.
No.
Paul hadn't forgot about him. He said, I lived a Pharisee. Verse 5. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise of our fathers. But I'm going to tell you, you know, I love coming back through the Old Testament. I know you do too. If you're not reading the Old Testament, you're missing a blessing.
Yeah.
Those men of God led by the Holy Ghost, God doing amazing things on their behalf. And you know what that tells me when I read those? It says, God do it for them, He do it for me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
What will? Now, if there is, if we really believe Romans 2:9, where Paul said there is no respect of persons with God. That's a big verse.
Yeah.
You say it's only a few words. That's a powerful verse.
Yes, sir.
If God will do it for them, why won't He do it for me?
Amen.
That's not arm twisting. We can't twist God's arm. But you know what we do? We take His word back to Him and we read it to Him. And we remind Him of it. And we ask Him, Lord, would You do this for me?
You
said there's no respect to persons. And I'm appealing to You. I need You. I don't know what you're going through right now. You know, if we all in this room had to put our finger on the big thing going on in our life, just one. But it's the biggest thing.
Yes.
Just one thing. But it's the grandest thing we're dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't dare voice that, what that is. That's personal. That's nobody's business. But I want to ask you, if that was the one thing that you needed God to do on your behalf, if He would do it, what would it be? What would it be? Biggest thing today. In your life. See, this is where Paul was. He is appealing to Agrippa because, number one, he wants his freedom to get back out there and preach the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what he wants. So his motives are pure. But you said, preacher, if God would do one thing for me today, there's no respect to persons of God, if He would hear one request, it would be X. What would it be? You know He will do that. We forget the promise verses of the Word of God. We forget Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And you know what I like to do? I like to quote that verse back to him.
Yeah.
Not that he forgot it.
That's right.
Not that he forgot it. But just in communion, I like to quote that back to the Lord. And you ought to try that sometime. He said, yeah, but God's busy. He's got other things to do. You know what he's busy doing? He's busy ministering to his youngins.
True. Amen.
He called you. Put his name on you. When he brought Israel come out with a high hand. They didn't come out broken on welfare. They come out with a high hand. God blew in so many quails, they didn't know what to do with them all. God fed them. Water from the rock. Honey falling down out of the sky. Those little coriander seeds. I call them heaven's honey buns. That's what they were. Man, they was out there. They had Krispy Kreme every morning for breakfast. Yes, sir. And so God fed them. God kept them. And on the Sabbath day, it lasts for 2 days. But every other day, you better get it in the house, because when the sun pops up, it's going to melt it, right? And so God's provision and God's care. And we think God won't do something for us. Why do we think that?
Yes.
That's the enemy talking.
Yeah, God helps.
He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. We can lay hold of that. We can believe that. But we believe it with confidence. And here is Paul appealing to Agrippa. Fast forward a little bit right here. See this where he said, verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, he talked about the vision God gave him. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Yeah.
He said, whoa, what God showed me, I did. He threw down his sword. He threw down that bad attitude.
That's right.
And he went to winning people to Christ.
Hallelujah.
And he's out there in a boat. He finds himself out there in a boat in the 27th chapter. And there's a storm. The storm had a name, Euroclydon.
Yes.
And so that storm is just a tough storm. You know, I was reading a little bit. We're in the Mediterranean there. They have some, you would think, because there's no ocean activity, but they still have some amazing storms.
Right.
And it don't happen a lot. But when they do, they're bad news. Well, that's what Paul's caught up in.
Yeah.
And so everybody's ready to bail. And Paul said, oh, wait a minute. He said, the God whose I am and the God whom I serve has said something, that everybody's going to survive, but we've got to stay in the ship.
Yes.
And you know what happened? Those men believed Paul. You know why they believed him? I like this. It's like Brother Ike. You know why people believed him? They watched him.
Yeah.
Preaching the Word of God 50
Amen.
Years. Preaching the Word of God, loving people, caring for people. They knew. They knew Paul's best interest was in their survival.
That's right.
He wasn't a greedy man, wasn't a selfish man. He took all those beatings and whippings and boot stumpings because he loved people. That's why.
Yes, yes.
And so he said, God has showed me the angel, talking about Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, has showed me. What's God showed you today? I want to close up here and wrap up with just a couple of things here. But I want to know, in the big scheme of things, what has God showed you? What is it that God has spoke to you about and you hadn't paid as much attention to as you ought? But I pray this word be a reminder to you that if you would give it to Him, He'll take care of it.
Amen.
Don't care what it is. He'll lead you.
Yes, he will.
He'll guide you. You said Preacher Paul ended up getting killed for the gospel. That's right. But it wasn't until God was ready.
That's right.
It wasn't because of that storm.
No.
And it wasn't because of those Jews.
No.
You know, he had Jews. He had a posse of Jews. He slept with one eye open. He had a posse of Jews chasing him everywhere he went.
Yes, he did.
But God, who's rich in mercy. So see this. Go down a little bit. And you know what? I want you to see this part. This is one of the last things I want you to see. And verse 24, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." He said, "Son, you are walking on shaky ground here, mentally speaking. And all this stuff's getting to you." And he spake for himself. And as he spake, verse 24, Festus said with a loud voice, I'd read that one, "But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." And then he goes down a little bit further and he's going to bring Agrippa back in this thing. And he said, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost."
Yeah.
"Almost
there you go.
Thou persuadest me to be a Christian."
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wrote a song about that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Almost persuaded. But you know, I don't want to be almost. I want to be altogether.
Amen.
That's a word that was used. Paul said, "I would that you were not almost." You'll see it right here.
Right.
"I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am."
Yes.
"Except these bonds."
Mm-hmm.
He thought, "King, I may go to Nero's guillotine. That's all right. I want you to get saved.
There you go.
And me and you will be brothers one day over yonder." They couldn't change Paul's mind. They couldn't change his motives. And they couldn't change his perspective. And he went to the guillotine, so Roman history says. He went to the guillotine believing what he believed. And nobody could change him. And he said, I'm persuaded that the God whose I am and who I serve is going to see me through. Do you feel like that this morning?
Yes.
As we stand, I want to ask you this. What would it be this morning if there's one thing you could change in your life for God's glory? What would that be? Maybe Miss Emily could come to the piano and play something soft.